بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ صدق الله العظيم وصدق على رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين We begin with the praises of Allah رب العالمين that Allah who is mine and your soul sustainer, cherisher, nourisher and protector. May Allah's choicest salutations continue to descend and flow upon our noble master, our leader, our mentor, our teacher, our guide, Nabiya Pak Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected elders and friends, man is inherently a social being. Our destinies are intertwined with one another. And the peace and harmony of society are essential for our collective well-being. In Islam, are not only acts of submission to Allah. In Islam, are not only acts of submission to Allah, they are also designed to foster peaceful relations with fellow human beings. The dual objective, submission and brotherhood, is found in all acts of ibadah. Subhanallah. The dual objective, submission and brotherhood, is found in all acts of ibadah, like salah, we stand together, we stand shoulder to shoulder. Zakah, which is the obligatory charity. Union in time, we all fasting together. And of course, Hajj, that we cannot speak about. There is only unity in Hajj. So they all work towards spiritual purification and well-being of a society. So how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made our ibadah as well, that it is a collective ibadah. Although the payment of zakat, and we had spoken about it 2 weeks ago, and we said we will continue with this topic. So although the payment of zakah is not confined to the month of Ramadan, like we had mentioned, many people discharge their zakah in this month for two reasons. One is, it is easier to determine the end of the lunar year. And secondly, we and you know that a fard that is discharged in the month of Ramadan is equal to 70 fara'is discharged at any other time. So we hope for the reward in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now my respected elders and friends, this institution of zakah has far-reaching consequences. It fosters circulation of wealth by ensuring that wealth does not accumulate in the, but it bridges the gap, the rich and the poor. Subhanallah. Here again we see brotherhood. So what zakah does? It bridges the gap between the rich and the poor, and it ensures that wealth does not accumulate in the hands of a few. Zakat creates a safety network. Those of the poor, they find themselves in need. In the capitalist system, wealth is often accumulated by a few people. You know, in the capitalist system, wealth is accumulated by a few people.
It is driven by competition, self-interest, and profit maximization. That is capitalism. So a few people control the economy, and it is driven by maximization and profit. Capitalism has only served to increase the gap between the rich and the poor. Amazing statistic. The world's richest 1% of people, the world's richest 1% of people hold nearly half of the world's wealth. That is what the capitalist system has did. So 1% of the world, 1% of people of the rich, they hold half of the world. And the richest 1% own almost half of the world's wealth, while the poorest half of the world own just 0.75%. So you see the capitalist system? Okay, that is the one system. Then we have the socialist system. The socialist system, as the name suggests, is based on private ownership of wealth, but on social ownership of wealth. It is based on the principle of shared ownership and cooperation. Everything that people produce in some way or the other, or in some sense a social product, and everyone who contributes to production is entitled a share in it. And this idea of economy parity is neither practical nor is it possible. Why? Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ فَضَّلَ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ فِي الرِّزْقِ. And Allah has favored some of you over others in provision. فَمَا الَّذِينَ فَضَّلُوا بِرِزْقِ رِزْقِهِمْ عَلَىٰ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ. Allah says, but those who have been given much favor would not share their wealth with those in their position, making them equal. This verse makes it clear that the presence of different degree economic status amongst human beings, that someone is poor, another rich, and yet someone in the middle, is not accidental. Allah has designed it this way. It is dictated by the wisdom of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, as required by consideration for human good and a mercy unto humankind. Allah says, Ahum yaqsimuna rahmat rabbik. Allah says, we have preferred some above the other. نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. And so that some may take work from the other. So Allah has created financial disparity amongst humankind to create interdependency. The rich are dependent on the poor for their labor, whilst the poor are dependent on the rich for work. This is how Allah has made the system. And the Islamic economic system acknowledges the right to private ownership. Understand this well, my respected audience. The Islamic economic system acknowledges the right to private ownership, but with the understanding that all wealth ultimately belongs to Allah. Islam doesn't have a problem with you owning. But at the end of the day, Islam teaches me and you that all wealth belongs to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And me and you are merely caretakers. Who are we? We are caretakers. And the Quran reminds us that inna Allah ashtara min al-mu'minina anfusahum wa amwalahum bi anna lahumul jannah. Allah reminds us that Allah has purchased from the believers their lives and properties in exchange for what they will have in paradise. So this wealth is an amana that is given to us, a trust that is given to us. Ultimately, it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why That is why in Islam, wealth is not an absolute possession. It is a trust which must be managed according to the law of the absolute power, Allah Rabbul Alameen. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَيْ لَا يَكُونَ دُولَةً بَيْنَ الْأَغْنِيَاءِ مِنْكُمْ. What Allah says, كَيْ لَا يَكُونَ دُولَةً بَيْنَ الْأَغْنِيَاءِ مِنْكُمْ, so that wealth may not only circulate among the rich. Look at the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why a wealthy person, when pride enters into his heart, he must think about this point. Today, sadly, people are respected on the basis of their wealth. People are respected on the basis of their wealth. There are many a wealthy who are doing, alhamdulillah, excellent work. And there are many a wealthy who have fallen because of the pride of their wealth. And Ed, I had alluded last week about the various scandals that is taking place in the world. It all boils down to wealth. Allah shows time and time again in the Quran. Allah shows repeatedly in the Quran, there were many who had much more wealth. But when they regarded their wealth as power, when they regarded their wealth as their own, when they regarded their wealth as their doing, Allah destroyed them. Allah destroyed them. And my respected elders and friends, for you and for me, we are in a hurry. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا, that insan is created in haste. But what Allah gives time. Allah is not in a hurry. Allah gives time. Allah gives rope. Allah gives you time to come back to Him. Allah says, this wealth I have given you, use it properly. Don't abuse it. And then a time will come when Allah gives you knocks in your life and you do not take heed. You look down upon people who don't have wealth. Then Allah pulls the rug. Then Allah tightens the rope. And then you want to know why? This is the reason. Nevertheless, كَيْلَا يَكُونَ دُولَةً بَيْنَ الْأَغْنِيَاءِ مِنْكُمْ, so that wealth may not circulate among the rich. This profound verse highlights the central idea of wealth circulation. The Quran emphasizes that wealth should not remain concentrated in the hands of the rich, but must circulate within society to ensure social justice and collective prosperity. Charity is a vital mechanism in this process, helping to bridge the gap between the wealthy and the disadvantaged and fostering a sense of brotherhood and compassion. My respected elders and friends, zakah has a threefold benefit and purpose. One is purification. Not only zakah, any form of charity. And that is why we're speaking about charity and zakah today. Besides spending our wealth on zakah, that is farz, that is compulsory. We have to spend our wealth because we need to understand there is a principle with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a principle with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that spend and Allah will spend on you. Spend, and the Western institution of wealth is, if you spend, your money decreases. But Allah's philosophy is, if you spend, what happens? Your money increases. Allah, look at the difference. So Western philosophy says, if you spend, your money goes down. But Allah's philosophy, if you spend, your money increases. So charity has a threefold purpose. One is purification. The word zakah itself means to purify. Purification of our wealth from a share that belongs to the poor. It also purifies our heart. What it purifies our heart? From the maladies of greed and selfishness. That I need to understand, my respected, spend now while you have time. Because there is a time that is going to come closer to Qiyamah. Inshallah, after Ramadan, we will start the series of Akhir al-Zaman, of the times of towards the end of time. There is a time that is going to come when the earth is going to throw out its wealth and there will be nobody to accept your zakat. So now you have the opportunity to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a means of drawing closer to Allah. So purification. Number two, growth. Contrary to the common misconception that charity depletes one's wealth, Islam teaches us that charity leads to growth. My respected elders and friends, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the wealth of a servant is not decreased by charity. This principle reflects that charity is an investment, not a loss. It multiplies in ways me and you cannot comprehend. And lastly, it is a protection. Charity is a shield from calamities. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, give charity without delay. What he said? He didn't say give charity. He said, give charity without delay. Why? Because it stands in the way of calamity. Allahu Akbar. Tirmizi has mentioned that it stands in the way of calamity. And I'm going to give you one tip today. Hey, mouth is dry, man. Hungry, thirsty. You must give the Imam's concession on a Friday. Everybody wants to be happy, isn't it? I'm going to give you a tip for happiness. Who doesn't want to be happy? Everybody wants happiness in their lives. Everybody wants to be happy? Get married to the second, third wife. No. Say in the easier way for happiness. It is shown, studies have shown, that acts of charity increase personal happiness. Studies have shown, give it a try. If you want to make yourself happy, go out and give something to the poor one day. And see how nice you feel. And see how happy you feel. So studies have shown that acts of charity increase personal happiness. Why? Because an act of giving creates a sense of meaning in life and fosters a deep sense of satisfaction. You get a deep sense of... You know, my respected elders and friends, don't wait for somebody to come and ask you for help. Like that, there are plenty of murids in the country. Oh, no, any work, let me know. My good friend from Middleburg, Maulana Muhammad Ali, when I left Middleburg, he told me, Hazrat, you'll meet a lot of type of people in your life. Two people you'll meet. One is the genuine and one is the fake. You know, you get genuine Nike and genuine Adidas, and you get the fake Nike and the fake Adidas also. So he says you'll meet two people. One is that person, when you're in difficulty, will come quietly and he'll help you. He won't say a word. He won't even know. He'll come, he'll do his thing and he'll go. That is the genuine. The other person, will tell you, Maulana, any work, any time, just phone me. Any work, let me know. So those are the guys you are, not the genuine guy. So don't wait for somebody to come and ask you for help. Go forward. When you know somebody is in difficulty, quietly help that person out. The more you give, the richer your heart becomes. Allahu Akbar. The more you give, the richer your heart becomes. As the purse gets empty, the heart gets filled. As the purse gets empty, the heart gets filled. And the link between personal happiness and charity has been established by various studies. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and all of us the understanding. May Allah make our earnings halal. May Allah give us barakah in our rozi, in our sustenance. And may Allah give us rosy sustenance from avenues we cannot perceive. And more importantly, may Allah always make us from the givers. Always looking for opportunities to help others, inshallah. And in this regard, what a great way to help the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The madaris, the madrasa, there is Quran, being young children reciting Quran. Inshallah, this is your investment. This is your investment in your qabr. When you will be sleeping, you will ask, oh Allah, where all this came from? I don't remember doing all these actions. Allah will say, you remember you gave that grand in the path of Allah. You remember you gave to the Masjid al-Rahmah. You remember you gave here. All this is the accumulation of all that. Charity does not decrease your wealth. Charity increases your wealth. In fact, there was a hadith I read yesterday, amazing hadith, that the angels make dua for protection of the wealth of that person who spends in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you got the duas of the angels, you got investments, you got Allah's barakah, you got Allah's increase. So inshallah, let us make a firm intention in this month of Ramadan, when 1 equals 700, inshallah, we all will open our hearts and our wallets, inshallah, in the path of Allah. May Allah grant us barakah and blessings, inshallah. In talking of zakah, inshallah, this Sunday after the Dhuhr Salah, inshallah, our guest, Mufti Muhammad Amin Qasim, inshallah, will be speaking on the topic of zakah after Dhuhr Salah, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. الحمد لله الذي أسعد وأشقى وأمات وأحيا وأضحك وأبكى وأوجد وأفنى وأفقر وأغنى وأضر وأقنى ثم خصص بعض عباده باليسر والغنى ثم جعل الزكاة للدين أساسا ومبنى وبين أن بفضله تزكى من عباده من تزكى ومن غناه زكى ماله من زكى وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله والمصطفى وسيد الورى وشمس الهدى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه المخصوصين بالعلم والتقى. أما بعد، فإن الله تعالى جعل الزكاة إحدى مباني الإسلام وأردف بذكرها الصلاة التي هي أعلى الأعلام، فقال تعالى: وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: بني الإسلام على 5: شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة والحج وصوم رمضان. وشدد الوعيد على المقصرين فيها، فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: من آتاه الله مالا ولم يؤدي زكاته مثل له ماله يوم القيامة شجاعا، أقرع له زبيبتان يطوقعه يوم القيامة، ثم يأخذ بلهزمتيه ثم يقول: أنا مالك، أنا كنزك. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة واركعوا مع الراكعين. صدق الله العظيم وصدق على رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر رضي الله عنه وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر رضي الله عنه وأصدقهم حياء عثمان رضي الله عنه وأقضاهم علي رضي الله عنه وعن الصحابة كلهم أجمعين رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أيد الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل الدين اللهم ألف بين قلوب المسلمين وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين اللهم ارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيم الصلاة Others, let us ensure that our shafts are straight, shoulder to shoulder with our heels in line. Let us try to fill in the gaps, stand as close as possible, ensuring there is no space between us. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawm Al-Din Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in Ihdina Assirata Al-Mustaqim Assirata Al-Ladhina An'amta Alayhim غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الله أكبر استغفر الله استغفر الله الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم انصر المظلومين والمستضعفين والمجاهدين في كل مكان يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأهلنا بفضلك عمن سواك اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وعيوننا من الخيانة فإنك تعلم خير ما تخفي الصدور اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين اللهم ارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.